You say, Wayne, well, wait a minute. How do you tell the difference between temptation and a test? When is something a temptation and this is a test of faith? How do you tell the difference? Because at first they both feel the same. They seem the same. This is a temptation. Is it from God or from the devil? I don't know. Well, how do you tell the difference between the two? Well, first of all, I want you to know that God will never tempt you.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Today, we continue our look at the story of Daniel, and we'll see how Daniel was captured and carried away into captivity, but how his faith remained strong despite being thrown to the lions. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Daniel, Outlasting an Ungodly Culture.
There was a story of two prisoners were in a cell, and the one on the bottom says to the guy on the top, look out the window. It's a beautiful night. So I don't want to look nowhere. Top guy said, no, the bottom bunk partner says, no, look out the window. It's a gorgeous night. It's so clear. He said, I don't want to. He said, please, come on, look out the window. So the guy in the top bunk cranes his neck and looks out and he says, I don't see no stars. All I see are the bars. You see, the one on the bottom wanted him to see the clear night full of stars. The one on the top focused on the bars. We can have two Christians and one will see stars and the other sees bars. And we have conflict and confusion. Don't let that happen. Remember Daniel, who looked through the window and he didn't say God is nowhere. He said God is now here. And always remember that God sent us into this place. Yeah, is it like an exile? Maybe. Pretty inconvenient, pretty crazy, a lot of threats. Yep. But God put us here. He could have put us here at a different time, but he didn't. He put us here now. Now. And then he's going to have his faith tested along the way. Now, God will never tempt your faith. He will test your faith. And it's completely different. You see, because Daniel would stand strong in his allegiance to God, and that's going to be tested. Why? Because what the world wants is not your possessions or stuff. They want your faith to capitulate. They want you to have a faith that's saleable, faith that's negotiable, faith that's barterable, up for sale. And Daniel says, no way, not going to do it. Well, it came to a time when the officials, and they're called satraps, these are officers in the government, they wanted to get rid of Daniel because he was like this and they were like this. And they wanted to get rid of Daniel, so they were going to find a way to get him painted into a corner. So they're going to check him out. They're going to watch. Is he speeding? Maybe we can get him on speeding. Or maybe he's stealing. Or maybe he's got some scandal in his life. Let's look at his life. And so they started looking under the carpets, under the bed, to see if they could find something of dirt on Daniel. And let's read what it says here in Daniel chapter 6. But let's read that one here. Here it is. Good. Let's read it. Good. Go. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. In other words, let's trap him and get him to collide with the government when it comes to his faith. Let's see if we can't start to leverage things in such a way that it really rubs raw against his faith. You see, your faith is going to be tested again and again. And this is a place where we must stand. If it's inconvenient, I'm not going to die on that hill. If it's something that, like, well, it's not that bad, it's a little inconvenient, but when it comes to my faith, no. This is the whole book of Daniel. When it comes to your faith, stand fast, because a miracle is about to happen. Stand fast in your faith. That is non-negotiable. So what they did was they said to the king, King Darius, they said, hey, enforce this law, a new law, change the law, a decree that says, if you pray to any god or human being apart from you, Darius, they can pray to you. But if they pray to anybody else, they'll be thrown into the lion's den. And the king said, okay. So what did Daniel do? Daniel just continued to worship God every day as he had been. And they said, we got you. You see, when it comes to faith, when the Bible says in Hebrews 10:26, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some, but all the more when you see the day of the Lord drawing near. You know what we did when it came to our faith? We kept worshiping God. We're going to keep assembling. Why? Hebrews 10:26 tells us to do so. And so when it collides, we say, I'm sorry, this is the highest law in the land. You see, not a government or anybody else. It's this. And the scripture says in the book of Revelation 22, it says, whosoever will may come and drink freely of the waters of life. We have the greatest word of life. We have the greatest message. We have the greatest gospel in the universe. And God's sending people. Who are we to say you can't come because you didn't go with a mask mandate or we have a certain limit and sorry, you're above that limit, so you can't come. Who are we to say no to the word when the Bible says whosoever will may come and drink freely of the waters of life? We will not make that a limit. God says no limit, bring them. And so in the last 7 months, over 225 people have received Christ right here in this church. 225. Now, where would they be if we said no? Where would they be? Their eternities are on the line. And so I say, oh, I'm sorry. When it comes to my faith and what the Word of God says, I've got to go with this. Why? Because this is my Bible. It's the Word of God. And I boldly declare that this is the highest law in the land. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it says I do, for I am a citizen of heaven. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. And so God has taken citizens of heaven like you and me and put us into a land that's trying to change our identity. And we say, oh, I'm sorry, we're ambassadors of heaven, and this is a temporary place. So in order for God to give us more influence, what's he going to do? In order for God to take us from where we were to what we must become, what does he have to do? What does he have to do to build our faith? Sorry, folks, here it is. In the school of an outlaster, tests are common. He's going to test our faith again and again. The tests of our faith are common. You say, wait a minute. How do you tell the difference between temptation and a test? When is something a temptation and this is a test of faith? How do you tell the difference? Because at first they both feel the same. They seem the same. This is a temptation. Is it from God or from the devil? I don't know. Well, how do you tell the difference between the two? Well, first of all, I want you to know that God will never tempt you. James 1:13, let not man say that when I'm tempted, that I am being tempted by God. For God is not tempted by evil. He himself tempts no one. But each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lusts. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. So will God tempt you? No, the Bible says God will not tempt you. Will he test your faith? Yeah. Why? Because he wants to give you more, a greater influence, a greater mantle, a greater depth in your counseling and your advice to your children. He wants to give you an anointing, but he's got to build your faith for that. How does he build it? By testing it. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, says James 1:2, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God doesn't tempt your faith. He what? Tests your faith. I'll tell you the difference. In the Greek, by the way, there's two different words. There's the word for tempt is the Greek word periadzo. And then the word for test is the word dokimon, where you get the word to document something, to affirm something, to certify something. And by the way, when you know the word sterling silver, if the word the sterling it means pure silver, it's actually the Greek word dokimon. Sterling silver is dokimon, silver. So there's two words, periadzo and dokimon. But it sounds, it feels the same. Let's say I'm going to test this lectern to make sure it holds the weight, my leaning on it, whatever. I want to make sure. So I'm the carpenter. I build this lectern. And now you know what I'm going to do before I use it, before I put stuff on it, before I trust it? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to test it a little bit. I'm going to twist it, put some weight on it to see if it'll withstand the test. And if it starts to creak and crank and move too much, you know what I do? Oh, I've got to reinforce it right here with some screws and some glue, and let's try it again. Oh, I'm going to put a bracket right here. Good. Ah, there, good, good. Now, it's ready to be used. Got it? The difference is if I'm going to tempt it, it would be like someone wanting to destroy this lectern. Now watch this. It looks the very same as when someone was testing it. But the difference is when you're being tempted, the enemy finds a weak spot. Oh, there it is. And then he what? He leverages that weakness to destroy you. Crash. To break you so that you're completely annihilated. The thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to... But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Same sentence. Why? Because one is to tempt, the other is to test. God will never tempt you. But what about the Lord's Prayer? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yeah, I know it says that in the English, but let me tell you what it says in the Greek, in the original language. It doesn't say lead us not into temptation. It actually says lead us away from temptation. Please deliver us from evil. Ah, so God will test our faith. Why? Because he wants to strengthen you in this ungodly culture so that he can put a more beautiful assignment, a greater birth, a greater mantle, a greater influence, and that we'll be able to have the strength to steward that. So God will never tempt you, but he will test your faith. See, testing is of God and it appeals to your faith. Whereas tempting is from the enemy and it appeals to your flesh. Here's another difference. Testing is when you know the right thing to do, but you don't want to do it. Tempting is when you know it's the wrong thing to do, but you still want to do it. Did you catch the difference? Testing is when you know the right thing to do, but you don't want to do it. And God strengthens you to obey. Tempting is when you know it's the wrong thing to do, but you still want to do it. And so the enemy is pushing you that way to destroy your family, your life, your future. And he's waiting for that moment of weakness. That's why even in Luke, on the Mount of Temptation, it said the devil waited for a more opportune time, waiting for a point of weakness so he could leverage off of that. So the first thing is, if you're going to be in the school of an outlaster, Daniel teaches us, get ready. Tests will be a part of the building of your faith. And number two, would you write down somewhere, the outlaster maintains his allegiance to God no matter what. And I need to say this to you, listen carefully. Whether you win or lose, you maintain your allegiance to God. What if I fail? Don't give up. Maintain your allegiance to God. But it's so hypocritical. Maintain your allegiance to God. Repent, get it right, maintain your allegiance to God. You get rid of this, it rationalizes the downfall. Don't do it. Yeah, but I feel like such a hypocrite. Yeah, you are. So just stay with your allegiance to God. We're all hypocrites, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. But Daniel maintained his allegiance So did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when he said, you will bow down. If not, I'm throwing you into the incinerator. Let's read what they say to King Nebuchadnezzar. Would you read it with me? Here it comes. Go. King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Wow. I love that phrase. And even if he does not, win or lose, I stay faithful to my God. If I rise or if I fall, I'm going to stay faithful. If I have a miracle or if I'm a mistake, I'm going to stay allegiant to my God. I'm going to continue. And God sees that and comes and joins us in the fire. Oh, keep your allegiance to God. How many times do you think we're going to fail? 100? 200? I know some of you, it's in the thousands, you know. No, we all will fail in the thousands of times, but keep your allegiance to God because that's the anchor to your soul. Yes. The anchor to your soul is not in your performance, it's in your King. The anchor of your soul is not in your performance, it's in your King. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God will test your faith, and if you'll stay allegiant to Him, you'll stay strong, and you'll stay faithful and stable, you'll find that your influence will have just grown immensely. Let me finish with this illustration of that. Because sometimes we don't realize that our influence grows. Just stay strong. You'll see. It was said that in the time of Nero, Christians were being persecuted. And if you read in history, they were even burned at the stake because they were trying to eradicate Christians because Rome wanted this to be the only God. The Caesars were actually deemed demigods, which means they were part God, part man. Governments will have a tendency to do that. They want you to be obedient to them and them alone. And so the same is true. I mean, all throughout history, just how it is. Well, it was said that if you were a Christian, you would be put to death. You had to remain loyal to the emperor only. And if you were a Christian, you would say no. Then you'd be put to death. If you recall, there's a fish symbol now, and that fish symbol actually came from Roman times. The word for fish is ichthus, and it's an acrostic that Christians used. I stood for Iesu, and then ich, the chi, or like an X, stood for Christos, and then Theus, which is God, Huios, Son, and Soter, Savior. So that acrostic, I-X-T-H-U, and another S is Jesus Christ, God's Son and Savior. That's the word for fish. So they would actually do a half crescent if they're talking to you, and they don't know if you're a Christian or not. They'll just do this, you know. And if you ignored it, then they go, okay, great, good. But if you, with your cane or stick, did the completion of that second arc, like make it like a fish, then he would see that you're a Christian. So if I did this to you, and then you just kind of did that, I'd go, Bible study, 7 o'clock tonight, my house. And so that's how they would cryptically invite each other to the catacombs. The catacombs were under the ground like graves, and that's where they would meet. So it would be in secret, but they would still worship God and have Bible study. They would continue to gather. It didn't matter what the government said or the threats. They would still gather because Hebrews 10:26, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So they would meet. The story is told they were meeting in the catacombs, about 30 of them, when the door just burst open. Bang! Three Roman centurions with swords drawn. They looked at him and said, if you're not a Christian, you better leave now. We will spare your life. So several of them got up and said, whoa, we were just invited here, dude. You know, I just nabbed. No, we're not a part of this. And then the centurions would continue and say, all right, anyone else? You want to leave now? Now's the time to leave. And then the couple, yeah, we're out of here. And then the centurion said to the others remaining, you are Christians. Will you deny your faith? They said, no, even if we die, we will not. We will remain allegiant to our God. Roman centurion, the story goes, closed the door, put their swords back in their sheath and said, we're Christians too. We just wanted to make sure everybody loved God in here. Let's have a Bible study, they said. You see, little do you know that when we stand fast, it will influence people that are on the edge. But if we're starting to move, they fall over the other side. God has a great, great place for the Church of the Living God. And for some reason, we have had the privilege of Him choosing us to live in this culture. We want to be faithful to Him, and He will do the miraculous while we stand firm. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we conclude. As we close today, if you've never received Jesus, please do so. It'll be the most eternal decision you will ever make in your life, I promise. Some people say, well, I don't understand all there is to understand about Jesus. It's okay. You come just as you are. But my life isn't really clean. It's kind of dirty. Come as you are. Listen carefully. Jesus loves you just like you are, but He loves you too much to let you stay that way. He begins changing you from glory to glory into the person He created you to be. What an adventure to walk with Jesus. But you've got to trust Him for that. And He won't begin until you invite Him in. He won't begin until you invite Him in because He's a gentleman and He'll never force truth down your throat. But He'll make it available. And if you say yes, He comes in. It's a partnership. Make sure your heart is open. How do I do that? Just say yes to Jesus. In a moment, I'm going to give you that chance to do so. Begin that and watch what He has in store for you. Would you bow your heads? If you're here and you say, Wayne, I'd like to receive Jesus. I really do need that. I want to receive Him as my Lord and Savior. If that's you right now, would you just raise a hand? And in doing so, you're saying, yes, okay, yeah, the Lord sees that. Yeah, others, okay. Yep, both of you there, yeah. Lord sees those hands too. Yep, good. Anybody else, just say, I need to receive Jesus. Lord, would you come into my heart? Make me your son, your daughter. Help me to walk with you. Become all that you created me to be. Yeah, okay. If this is your first time receiving Christ, stop by an usher on the way out, and they have a yes packet. In it is some follow-up material that'll help you so much in your first few steps with Christ. But let's all renew our hearts to Christ today. Let's all return to our first love and rededicate our hearts to Him as people in this culture who will be outlasters according to His promise. Would you pray this out loud after me as we close? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and you died for my sins that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you want me to be. I turn from my ways and I turn to you. And I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. So now I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful hearts that you put in this church. Help us to become more like you every day. Give us strength and courage. Keep us teachable, but strong in the faith. And when you test us, help us to cooperate because you only want our best and you'll reinforce where we are weak. For you said, when we are weak, you are strong. So we depend on you as you test us so that we can become the people you want us to be. We love you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray and we say, would you give a clap offering to the Lord? Amen.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Daniel, Outlasting an Ungodly Culture by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
Your faith is going to be tested again and again. And this is a place where we must stand. If it's inconvenient, I'm not going to die on that hill. If it's something that, like, well, it's not that bad, it's a little inconvenient, but when it comes to my faith, no. This is the whole book of Daniel. When it comes to your faith, stand fast, because a miracle is about to happen.
Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.